WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is about to cast her ballot in the state's Republican primary. While campaigning last night, she urged voters to think about the general election in November.
We can want all the things to get fixed that we want, but if we can't win a general election, we get nothing. And Donald Trump cannot win a general election.
He has a commanding lead in the polls heading into the primary, but he is facing criticism over comments he made last night in Columbia.
Black people are so much on my side now because they see what's happening to me happens to them. Does that make sense?
The Biden-Harris campaign calls Trump an incompetent anti-black tyrant. An aide to Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny says his body's been turned over to his mother. Earlier, his widow had accused Vladimir Putin of mocking Christianity by trying to force a private funeral. Today marks 2 years since Russia invaded Ukraine. This is ABC News. For the first time since 1972, a U.S.-built lunar lander is on the surface of the moon. Odysseus was built by a private company, which says it's there, it's communicating, but there's one issue.
Odysseus landed as planned near the south pole of the moon. One hiccup, though, when it landed, its foot got stuck and it tipped over onto its side, and it stuck tipped over. Steve Ultimus, the CEO of Intuitive Machines, which built Odysseus, says it's still a success.
The majority of our payloads are all in view, and we are collecting science, and we've collected science along the way.
He says the solar arrays are still facing the sun, and the batteries are at 100%. Soon they plan to send back photos from the moon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
United Airlines joined American in raising costs for checking bags. Beginning today, economy passengers will be charged $5 more on domestic flights. Checking a bag now $35, 24 hours ahead of time, $40 after that. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. More people than ever get their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, but many of them still can't get the care they need. Advocates say the list of essential benefits covered by the ACA needs updating. Here's Eric Galatas.
Adam Fox with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative says the Biden administration has an opportunity to update the ACA's essential health benefits, services that almost all individual and small employer insurance plans across the country are required to cover. He says all Americans need access to fundamental services.
Like dental, which is currently covered for children but not adults. It should cover the full range of reproductive health services and perinatal and postpartum care for people who are giving birth, as well as hearing and vision benefits.
Some insurers providing coverage through the ACA have warned that expanding essential benefits will drive up insurance premiums and health care costs in general. Fox believes updating essential benefits would actually lower costs and improve the quality of health coverage for all people, whether they get insurance through the ACA marketplaces like healthcare.gov, employer-sponsored plans, or programs like Medicaid.
The reality is many of these services are proactive and preventive care that help people maintain their health and avoid much more costly health interventions are likely to save costs.
It's been more than 13 years since the Affordable Care Act established rules defining 10 categories of health services that most insurance policies must cover. Fox notes many states have not done anything to update or expand benefits.
And what we need is federal action to update essential health benefits. benefits, ensure that the full range of whole person care is covered, and that is made a requirement across the country.
This is Eric Galatis. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunny skies and highs in the low to mid 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy, 32. Becoming sunny on your Sunday with a high near 53. For Monday, breezy with highs in the mid 60s, well above normal. Chance of rain on Tuesday with a high of 63.
Currently 26 degrees.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
What's up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman everywhere throughout the state of Wisconsin on your Civic Media stations. Man, Danielle?
Joel?
Sportsmen and women had a fantastic, huge day today. Did you know that? They had a huge, you didn't even know, I bet.
I did not know. But how did we have a huge day?
That, and we are on the precipice of some really great advances for hunting and fishing in the state of Wisconsin. And now it is up to you, our listeners throughout the state, to make sure Governor Evers knows that we would like him to sign the bills that landed on his desk today. Two very important bills to sportsmen.
Which are?
One is going to allow high-powered air guns in the pursuit of big game in Wisconsin. Now, this is huge. Air guns, now the modern air gun in the 45, the 50 caliber air gun has gotten to the point that it has got the velocity, it's got the knockdown power for ethical hunting of big game in Wisconsin. Several other states already allow air guns.
Oh, wow.
We're going to talk about, with our guests later, we're going to talk about air guns for waterfowling.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm so excited about this. I've watched Jim Shockey shoot a Cape Buffalo with an air gun. Okay, now that's not something I would try. I'm not going to be hunting, the Black Death with an air gun or a bow. Personally, maybe at some point, but air guns have become modern. You can charge them at home. You don't need to buy the CO2 anymore. They're extremely accurate. They're great starter firearms for someone who may be averse to the loud, kind of violent noise
of
a traditional gun. I think they're less than half. By comparison, the decibel level's way lower than something. So, and I apologize, I don't want to get too much into the inside baseball, but when a firearm goes off with ammunition that uses gunpowder, two things happen that create the noise. One is the explosion in the chamber of the bullet going off, the projectile going off. There's literally an explosion in the chamber of the gun. The second half of the noise is when that bullet shoots down the rifled barrel and breaks the sound barrier. So there's a small sonic boom that happens, just like, you know, if you've ever heard a jet fly by and you hear that crack. So when those two things are combined, you're looking at about 130, 140 decibels, which is about 10 decibels more than the end zone at a Packer game if the Packers score. So that's kind of a good way of having, you know, relating to it. So first of all, the air gun has virtually no sound in the chamber, and in most cases, the air gun projectile, which they call a slug or a sabot, is traveling around 900 to 1,000 feet per second. So the speed of sound is, I think it's 1,100 feet per second, 1,000 or 1,100 feet per second. So you are eliminating both of the main causes of a main boom when you shoot it. In addition to that, you've got a lot less, the air pressure creates a lot less kick on the gun, so the recoil is less. This is something that I think is going to be extremely beneficial when it comes to having new shooters, those who may be a little apprehensive about a firearm and the loud kind of violent boom and recoil. And you've got knockdown power. Mm-hmm. You're not bothering neighbors as much,
that's,
you know,
very true,
with the sound. And I think we're on the verge here of a real dawn of a new type of tool in harvesting animals in Wisconsin. And
so my first question is, what about the price range? Because you can buy your Benelli or your Brownie Maxis or whatever it is for $1,000 to $2,000. What's the price range for this?
The price range actually very similar.
Oh, nice.
The price range of the highest level, like Umarex makes one. I forget some of the Pyramid Air makes one. I forget some of the names of the other ones, but they're in that $1,000 to $2,000 price range if you're talking about the quality of a rifle that can take down big game. And, you know, you want at the, you, at the end of the day, you want an ethical kill. So I think it's extremely important that you understand the balance. Now, you're not, when you're shooting at 900 feet per second, you've got the inertia of the large caliber sabot or slug, which is usually 45 or 50 calibers, which is bigger than most bullets, but you don't have the velocity coming out of the barrel. And so the ethical kill is from the velocity combined with the inertia and frankly, the size of the caliber. So what you give up in velocity, you gain in inertia. But I think that the important thing about that is that you are close enough to the animal. Mm-hmm. With, you know, a 300, you know, Winchester mag or Weatherby mag, you're going to still have that inertia and velocity at 400, 500, 600 yards. You're not going to have that when you're starting out the barrel at 900 feet per second versus 3000 feet per second. Right. So it's not like you can take an air gun and you're going to be shooting at 400 or 500 yards, but I think 200 yards or less keeps enough terminal velocity that it will be effective. So here's the political dynamic. What do you think of this so far? I mean, did you know that this was a possibility?
No, I had no idea. I have never even seen an air gun ever.
Like a high power. You've seen pellet guns and BB guns.
Oh, yes, of course. Like, you shoot my eye out, kid. Like, of course.
Right. Well, the Red Ryder is not going to be allowed for... The Red Ryder from A Christmas Story will not be allowed. So these firearms, which are actually used quite a bit, I mean, they kill hogs with them in other states as well. Some of them are actually repeaters. Like, you pull the trigger 5-6 times, you get 5-6 solid shots before you have to refill the compression tank. So there are pros and cons to
that.
So
how long is it going to take to refill up the... What is the tank?
You essentially fill it with an air compressor.
Oh.
So it used to be... You use CO2 and it was expensive. You had to buy CO2 refillers, but they figured out a way to get air compressors to, you know, fill the capacity of the cylinders on these guns. And it's just such a cool thing to me. And so here's the political aspect of it. You know, we've got a governor who doesn't always side with what the sportsman's issues are, but he also understands the traditions of Wisconsin and the heritage that goes along with hunting and fishing and the outdoors. And they like lesser weapons. So you've got your, you know, bows, crossbows. Those are lesser than gunpowder powered firearms. This is a lesser weapon. It has potential to do less damage to hearing. And it's also, you know, it can be perceived as something that can be used, you know, more easily by, say, kids, or inexperienced firearm users can learn it with a little less apprehension, and potentially the disabled as well. And then there's a huge aspect. And once we have our guests on, we're going to bring this back up because I think it's interesting. There's a huge political aspect to that. And that is that nonviolent felons will be able to hunt again with a gun, with an air gun.
Oh.
So in Wisconsin, you cannot, if you are a convicted felon, you may not possess a firearm. Well, an air gun is not defined as a firearm. An air gun is an air gun. So you do not, now, you know, and some of the debate through the process, and I watched this carefully, and I actually lobbied for SCI on this bill, some of the argument was, well, do we want felons to have these guns and hunt? And the answer is felons can already have air guns. They already can have air guns because they're not under the definition of a firearm in Wisconsin. And I'll be honest, personally, if we're about rehabilitation and giving somebody second chances after mm-hmm. they've served their time, what better way to do it than in the outdoors of Wisconsin?
Absolutely.
That's a heck of a lot better than hanging out with old friends and considering getting back in trouble with some of the things that got you in trouble in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, there are grandfathers out there who are going to have a chance to take their grandchildren hunting with an air gun.
That'd be so
should
perfect.
The governor sign this bill. And so I guess my plea to the audience is let the governor's office know that you think this is a great idea. And I think it's a step forward. And I think every state in the country is going to end up having this.
How many other states out there have it right now?
I don't know the answer to that, but several others do. Yes.
Like, I think they're having that out there would be perfect because the new hunters with the share the heritage with Milford Hills. A lot of those girls, when they did here in a previous podcast or radio show, you could hear that they were worried about that, how loud it is and the kickback and everything like that. Every single one that I recall said that that was a worry for them. So having this there would be so perfect because I've never shot one, so I don't really know, but not having that kickback and the loudness. And I also really, truly hate wearing earplugs. So
well,
that would be so perfect.
I mean, there are going to be a lot of cases where a traditional firearm is going to be the superior choice. No doubt about it. And in the waterfowl aspect or the upland hunting aspect, there are now guns, air guns for that, where they shoot. Most of them are 28 gauge mm-hmm. or 16 gauge. They're not quite 12 gauge shotguns. It uses too big of a blast of air. But trust me when I tell you, I think technology is going to be there soon enough that we're going to have air shotguns that are fairly comparable to the standard shotgun. And what a neat thing if you're in an area that's near a subdivision or you don't want to bother the folks around you and you can do it at half the decibels. Shooting
range. McMiller is something people hate living over there. Not all people, but some people, because it's so loud that everybody wants to go out there and shoot on the weekends.
Yeah.
So
well,
not being able to hear it.
I don't want to get started down that road because that's a don't move next to an airport if you don't like the sound of airplanes.
Right?
But
correct.
That's a topic for a different conversation. But I think, yeah, waterfowl, you know, and I have friends who I hunt. Well, not many, but I have friends I have hunted with who are convicted felons. There, I said it, right? I'm not ashamed. I'm proud of it. These are folks who bow hunt. Mm-hmm. I have two very specific friends I hunt with, bow hunt with. One I got into hunting and harvested his first deer with a bow with me. And he wants to hunt with his grandchildren, and he can't.
Aww.
He was a young kid. He got caught with too much dope. He got convicted of a felony.
That's so sad.
And the rest of his life, he can't really hunt with a rifle of any type. This is going to change his life. When we come back, Danielle, you are the master at setting up guests.
I feel like you're lying right through your teeth.
I'm not lying at all. And they're always awesome. I mean, they're fantastic. And so I just want to say I sincerely appreciate that.
I thought you meant introducing them.
No, I meant
finding them. Yeah,
getting them
awesome
to show
people.
Up to the show. Anastasia's giving me the wrap. We're going into the first break. We'll be right back on your Civic Media stations on Raised in Wisco.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season. And since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by black actors. The first black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listen for more Black History stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I am Danielle Fairman alongside Joel Clayfish. Before the break, we were talking about air guns, and I'm very excited about this. But during our break, I was talking with Megan Salazar, and she says not only has she used one before, but she used it to spearfish. Is that right, Megan?
That is correct.
All right. Before we go into this a little bit more, this is Megan Salazar. Some people may know her as Megan Matthews, but it's Megan Matthews Salazar.
Yes, that's my full legal name.
My middle name is Matthew. That really messes
what
things
is it?
Up. It is.
Uh-oh.
And
I'm
for
Nicole.
Half
am
my
I,
life,
am
I thought
Audi?
It was spelled with one T, and it's two T's.
Oh.
But Matthews Bowes is spelled with one T, so I kind of wish it was one T.
I'm Nicole, and I always spell my name with no H until I realize I do have an H.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
It's not that uncommon to misspell your middle name.
I mean, if we're omitting things, I celebrated my birthday on the wrong day for almost 19 years.
Okay. I don't know how that happens.
For a whole day prior,
did you
June 18th.
Your birthday was
no,
the wrong day?
No, there is a whole situation. So when I was born, the doctor said, here is Danielle. She was born on June 18th. Hello, world. Fantastic. Well, we always celebrated on June 18th.
Well, what day was it in the hospital?
So I go in to the basement and look at the filing cabinet, look at the birth certificate for like my graduation or something. So it was 17, 18 years. And I'm like, Ma, I ran up the stairs like, Mom, it says June 17th. Like, what? She's like, oh my goodness, I never actually looked at that, but you wouldn't think people would mess that up.
She didn't know what day it was when she had you?
Well, it was a magnificent day. Doesn't it matter? The sun was shining, the birds were chirping. It was a great day on June 17th.
Oh, boy.
So I actually have two birthdays. So that says a lot about me, doesn't it?
Sure.
But with Megan Salazar, we known each other for quite some time now.
Yeah, I'd say like 5-6 years.
Get up on that
Sorry.
Mic,
yeah, get
Megan.
Closer.
Come on,
five
move
or six
that mic.
Years. At least 5 or 6 years.
If I, yeah.
Because I think you were going to possibly get a puppy from me at one point in time.
I was.
Prior to
Bandit.
Nope, prior to Bandit. Other one, too. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, you got to get close to that. This is not your first time. Come on.
Before Bandit.
Before Ranger.
Before Ranger. I think when you were looking at Ranger,
oh,
that's how we met
yes.
originally, because I had some puppies then,
oh,
too.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Well, I did love Ranger. Ranger was a good pup.
He was a good dog.
Now, oh, and I'm going all over the board, and Joel's giving me the side eye. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not side eyes this from the side. I was straight on.
You also brought a puppy in today, an 8-week-old puppy.
And yeah, he's
oh
going nuts
gosh,
in the side of the studio.
Is so cute.
It is so adorable. And why did you bring in a puppy? What is your side hustle that you do?
Well, I don't think it's a side hustle. I think that's
is this
like
your
main
full-time
hustle.
Job?
No, it's a side hustle.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
Well, dang. I want a side hustle fun. Where I can play with puppies.
Puppies
that's
all day
awesome.
Long. So you breed puppies. And
I breed Labradors, yes.
Do you train them as well?
I do not train them.
I do not know this much information about you, so this is
no,
time
I
to
don't
ask.
Train them. I only get them till 8 weeks old, and then they are gone.
That sounds fantastic. Well,
fantastic.
Thank you for bringing in the puppy. Now, going back to our air guns situation.
So, Megan's with Share the Heritage, yes.
Did you hear the puppy barking?
Megan's with Share the Heritage, and, you know, a common theme that Danielle and I have with this show is talking about the fast-growing new hunters in... Women. Women are the fastest growing group of new hunters. I don't think we can overemphasize that. And what's really cool is to see that not only are they growing in the shooting sports, in the archery sports, they're growing in the dog training world. They're growing in the purchasing of outdoor products. We're starting to see women's lines in traditional clothing. We're starting to see new lines of clothing tailored to women. So this is something that, you know, and having Megan here to have to be a voice for that is just another thing that's fantastic, because as that contingent of hunters continues to grow, I think one of the keys is that it be nurtured along the way. And I think that that is, you know, that's one of the fantastic things that's happening. One of the things we want to do in the show too.
Absolutely. And I don't even know why I'm trying to go with this story. I'm trying to go back to air guns. Well, like, I'm trying to go back to the air guns.
traveling with air guns. To travel with when you're spear fishing than it is to take a regular spear with you.
So how so? What does this air rifle, air gun look like? Because in my head, like, I have no idea.
It's like a long rod with a spear, but it's much shorter, probably maybe 2 feet at that, whereas the traditional spear gun is probably about 4 to 5 feet long.
And it's easier to travel with this?
Well, yeah.
Like, how is it through, like, I've never traveled with a weapon or anything.
Do you have to go through the firearms protocols when you take an air gun?
I keep it locked up and everything, too, yeah.
But, so you do have to go in a double locked case and all that? No, you just do that.
Yeah.
It could technically go in your
luggage. Right, because you can have a knife in your luggage without having it locked up.
Sure.
It's still the same thing, because it's just a projectile, not a firearm. So
that's awesome.
I have never traveled with any weapons whatsoever, so this is brand new to me.
It's not that difficult. Everyone's so scared of it, and I don't understand why.
Well, I usually drive to my destination.
It's not. I travel with firearms all the time.
Huh.
Right out of Milwaukee, all the time. You just have your double locked case.
Yeah.
Make sure that your ammunition is in its original box.
And separate.
And separate. And keep your, you know, I keep the action all the way open so that when it's open to present to the person checking you in, that they can see that it's open right away. I don't know. I don't think it's that hard. And I don't want to get too far down the road here to say we've got former Chief Warden Todd Schaller with us. Not only a dear, dear friend of mine, but someone I look up to, someone who is not only the real deal when it comes to having dedicated his life to the outdoors and conservation of Wisconsin, but now in retirement is literally as involved in waterfowl and in the outdoors and in hunting rights and passions as he ever has been. And it's great to have you here. I saw you nodding during that last segment, Todd, and you were, when we were talking about air guns as used for a big game, you know, and even another application that Megan was talking about, spearfishing, which you can also spearfish in Wisconsin, by the way, for certain rough fish, which is kind of cool. Todd, did you ever come across this as a warden? Did you? What do you think about the whole burgeoning use of air guns?
What I like is the fact that as technology changes and as the hunting community changes, we look for opportunities to bring that into the fold. So air guns, when I was young, wasn't a tool for this, but now it is. So let's utilize it and pass the laws that allow us to utilize it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. We're up against a break already. When we come back, we've got Megan Matthews Salazar, Danielle Fairman, Todd Schaller. I'm Joel Clayfish. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media Station.
As sure as night is dark and day is
light. Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is about to cast her ballot in the state's Republican primary. While campaigning last night, she urged voters to think about the general election in November.
We can want all the things to get fixed that we want, but if we can't win a general election, we get nothing. And Donald Trump cannot win a general election.
He has a commanding lead in the polls heading into the primary, but he is facing criticism over comments he made last night in Columbia.
Black people are so much on my side now because they see what's happening to me happens to them. Does that make sense?
The Biden-Harris campaign calls Trump an incompetent anti-black tyrant. An aide to Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny says his body's been turned over to his mother. Earlier, his widow had accused Vladimir Putin of mocking Christianity by trying to force a private funeral. Today marks 2 years since Russia invaded Ukraine. This is ABC News.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bucks beat the Timberwolves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks' first game after the All-Star break was just what the doctor ordered. The Bucks with a 112-107 win in Minnesota. Giannis with 33 points. Lillard with 21. Malik Beasley with 14 in the second half. Milwaukee dominated the third quarter but looked tired at the end, head coach Doc Rivers.
You know, one thing you can see with our team, I don't know if there's any place to do it, but you can see conditioning because they're playing hard. They were gassed. There were a bunch of guys gassed on our team for sure. And that's what happens when you play hard defense and hard offense. So we're going to have to try to condition in games, you know, to get that. Because we have to get used to playing that way for 48 minutes.
In New Orleans, a fourth quarter fight left four players ejected from the game, including Jimmy Butler. The Miami Heat went on to win 106-95 over the Pelicans. For sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunny skies and highs in the low to mid 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy, 32. Becoming sunny on your Sunday with a high near 53. For Monday, breezy with highs in the mid 60s, well above normal. Chance of rain on Tuesday with a high of 63.
Right now, it's 28.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend.
Heading into the break, we were talking to former Chief Warden Todd Schaller about what's coming down the line, coming round the bend, and he was talking about new technologies as they apply to the hunting and fishing world. And I think, you know, as the governor's got on his desk now, a bill that would allow air gun hunting, high power, high caliber, large caliber air gun hunting for big game in Wisconsin. You know, Todd, you were talking about how there's two schools of thought. Either you embrace technology or you're afraid of it and you push it into the corner and then it fights its own way out. I think Wisconsin's very much kind of in the middle of that. We don't love to embrace things first. We like to see how they happen in other states. How do you see, from a law enforcement standpoint, Do you see this as a good thing or something that is going to take a while to ferret through before people understand what they can do with the air guns or versus what they shouldn't be doing?
No, I don't think it's a challenge. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think it's, like you said, the technology's there and, you know, it's been around a little while, you know, maybe not as long as some of the other changes that are there. So I think it's easily for law enforcement to understand the rules, easy to communicate the rules, and easy for people to follow the rules. You touched on it. It really provides an opportunity for those who maybe haven't had opportunities, felons, or people who are afraid of the noise, afraid of the recoil, to take a step into hunting. And you mentioned young people or women we talked about. But what about older people who can't take the recoil because of their age? And they get out of hunting at 70 or 75 because they have a bad shoulder.
Or disabled folks.
Or disabled folks. Now they have the opportunity to stay into hunting. You know, what a great opportunity.
Yeah, I totally
wonder
agree.
How long it would take for, if this bill passes, for it to be shown at the Wisconsin Waterfall Expo.
I
have
don't
a
think
booth
it'll take
about
long.
That would be
I
awesome
don't
to see.
I think it's going to take long. You're going to have air gunners at the Waterfall Expo as soon as it becomes law here. And Danielle, why don't you talk about you know, one of the reasons our guests are here, because of this absolutely amazing Waterfall Expo that's coming up in August, the largest in the state. It's a one-day event. I think it's probably going to have to become a two-day event at some point because it's so
I do not
well
know why it's
received.
Not 2 days yet.
It's not 2 days yet, probably because I would be dead by the end of the second day.
And as for the Waterfall Expo, the Fowl Life now is a main sponsor or the sponsor of it,
well,
is it not?
The Fowl Life's been a main sponsor for the last 2 years, and we've had incredible success there. Folks are constantly coming up to the booth. Mm-hmm. I do a cooking segment that's been standing room only, a cooking demonstration that's been standing room only, where we actually hand out a sample of food to everybody.
And it's always delicious.
And it's not a small sample. It's like a little meal. So make sure you put it on your calendar, August 24th. And I'm excited about it. But not only is the Fowl Life Jargon Calls, Banded Gear going to be represented there, the provider recipes, cookbooks, spices, rubs. We have really embraced the Waterfowl Hunting Expo, and the Fowl Life has really made Wisconsin one of their priorities. And in part, that's because we've teamed up with Travel Wisconsin and the Department of Tourism, and it's fabulous. We're running podcasts with folks who are at the root of the outdoors in Wisconsin. And our relationship with Travel Wisconsin, there's no better way or reason to tell people to come to our great state than the resources we have here to share with the folks in this state and from other states. Mm-hmm. And Danielle, and this just goes to show you the symbiosis of folks in the outdoor industry. Danielle and I have the pleasure of co-hosting this show together. We've hunted together for years. She's been on my old TV show, and she is a presenter at You are a presenter at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo. And yeah, Megan looked over at her like she didn't know what she was talking about.
I must not have been paying attention during the meeting.
No, I am not a presenter.
Well, you were on the panel.
That was like, yes, last year.
Oh, are you going to not be on the panel this
year?
No,
this year's panel. Okay, so bring it back a little bit. The expo has decided to add a women's zone. Because as you said,
awesome.
That it is us women. We're here. We're playing too. We love this game. We love this lifestyle as well. So they have decided to, for this year, for the first year ever, to have a women's zone. And this women's zone is going to be right in the back. We're wearing pink t-shirts, so you're gonna be able to see us. But this women's zone has the Megan Salazar and Brooke. What was her name? Brooke
Miller.
Brooke Miller.
We got Connie Markham.
Yep. Bust with other females.
Kara Mashad.
Yes. I'm so excited. But we are introducing what? We have a cooking segment. We have...
Well, we're working on the cooking segment. We were really hoping Kara and Joel were going to bring a Traeger and grill out back for us. Was kind
we'll
of our
figure
hope.
Something
I thought
out.
I was bringing my Blackstone.
Oh, you could bring the Blackstone too and we can do both.
Yep. There we go. Perfect. So what other segments? I was trying to look at our previous email because we had our first meeting about it and it was a huge success with this meeting.
We're going to have another panel.
Yep.
Some of the people from the previous for women by women waterfowl hunt that we did in Trempealeau last year are going to be on the panel so they can provide how their experience went with the mentored hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Rachel Voss from First Hunt Foundation is also going to be on it. She's a huge waterfowler out in Washington State.
Yeah, we had her on the show last week.
Yep, last week.
Yeah, she's great.
We are going to be having a duck calling clinic. One of the top female duck callers in the country is coming out of Iowa. I believe she works for Pacific, if I remember correctly.
Oh, great.
I'm not sure, yeah.
I believe DSG is going to be there for some apparel. We've got Dive Bomb coming for a decoy setting. And Brenda Kelly from the DNR is also coming to do a duck ID seminar.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, then decoy layout.
Yep, and then we'll have a female dog trainer there for some dog training demonstrations.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I don't mean to offend in any way by asking, are men allowed to go to this?
Absolutely.
You want, how did this brainchild come to be? Whose idea was it? How did this start? Was this the Waterfowl Association reaching out to you guys? Todd, looked like he had a potential
like
answer.
I might have an answer.
I mean, this is just, yeah, but this, what a fantastic way to expand the expo.
I think where it came from is last year, Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, in partner with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and Department of Natural Resources and others, held a for women, by women waterfowling event at the Trempealeau Wildlife Refuge, which Megan had mentioned. And Megan was part of that. She was a mentor there. She worked at the training day. I think the energy and excitement that came out of that event just kind of rolled into what can we do? What's next? Not only is that event going to be continued down the path, but the expo, what can we do? What can we build on that? So continuing with the theme of for women by women, we said, why not a women's zone? And, as you said, the fastest growing, members into the water hunting community, waterfowl hunting community. And why not get that energy moving forward?
Todd, in your three decades of public service in conservation, what did you see change about women entering outdoor sports?
You know, I think really it's people who had the courage to take the first step, really, and get involved in it and then start talking about it and pass on that interest and pass on that heritage and tradition. So I think we're seeing it grow organically in a way. And now that ball is rolling, I think everybody's on it. WWA is like, why not jump on that trend? Why not use that to bolster our efforts in Wisconsin?
I think it's not only an opportunity for groups like WWA. I think it's an obligation, because when it comes to organizations that are dedicated to conservation and hunting and fishing, I think part of that dedication is also an obligation to make the opportunities available to everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, if you were to just stay with our standard trends, the historical trends of hunting, Joel, it's you and I. It's old white guys. I mean, that's terrible to say.
Are you calling me old?
I am.
Oh,
sorry.
My gosh. Well, so, I you know that really changes when you hit 50. Then people say, then you're old.
You're not 50.
I'm not 50. I'm 52.
So it's really about opening the door. Why not have everybody, like you said, why not have everybody involved in this great tradition that we enjoy in the community that we're all part of?
Yeah, I cannot wait to see where this goes with the women's zone. It does seem like a huge thing. There were plenty of women at the expo. So I don't see why this would, like the panel that we had, the panel was very successful. We had people, I got new phone numbers from chicks that wanted to come out and come hunt with us and do everything. So it was an absolute win-win. And not only did you have your cooking segment in the same room prior, so it still smelled like pot pie, which was absolutely delicious.
Well, I appreciate that. And one of the things, I don't know, I mean, you want to talk about an unscientific survey. One of the things that is interesting to me is to see, you know, we sell spices and rubs. And in my family, I'm the one in the kitchen most often. Right? I don't know how that compares to most other families in today's day and age. But what I found very interesting was that it was literally about 50-50 as to women and men who were interested in the rubs and what recipes they could mm-hmm. use. And I think cooking and cuisine, I always argue with people, you can tell everything you need to know about any culture and the direction it's going by what happens in the kitchen, by cuisine of that culture. And because we our society is based on coming together around food, right?
Oh, it absolutely.
Is. And especially in Wisconsin, we've got such a multicultural state here represented, and all of the different ethnic foods, and coming together around the table is really key. And I think that we're not many years away from hunting being the same as cuisine is, which is now, you know, split duties between men, women, and both in families and in groups, where it has become really normal, really regular for everybody to chip in to do the cooking. And I think that that is the direction it's headed in. I think people like you, Megan, are the reason it's headed in that direction. Did you ever think of kind of the gravity of what you're doing and the pioneer kind of spirit of what you're doing when you started? Or how did you end up in, you know, the sporting heritage industry and focused on growing women in hunting?
Well, I didn't grow up in a hunting family, which we all know. So I actually started off with the Learn to Hunt program at WWA. And from there, I mean, I just fell in love with it. And when you're passionate about something, you just want to share it with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've met most of my best friends through the industry. And I mean, we hunt together, we do everything together. So,
oh yeah, it's definitely growing. And
yep,
met plenty of new people to out there with that.
Yep. And just really great people. And it's the people that you want to be around. So I want to share that with other people.
Mm-hmm. And with the Waterfowl Association, Todd, with the expo, is there anything new besides the Women's Zone going on this year?
There is.
And, there is. Are we allowed to know? Is it a secret?
Well, basically, every year we try to grow it. And not only grow it in number of vendors, number of sponsors, we want to have more people attend it. So we're putting bigger effort into our marketing to try to draw more people to the event.
We can hear the puppy in the background. Don't be disturbed by the puppy in the background.
And but honestly, probably the Women's Zone has the most energy right now. There's Connie and Megan are working on it. And I mean, everybody they talk to is like, I'm in. It's not a pause. It's not a hesitation. It's immediate. I'm in, and what can I do? And that's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see where this thing grows.
Yeah, I think we're bringing a lot of different talents in to really be able to expand
and
the expo on the women's.
That's why I asked if men could go. I mean, I would love to go to the calling seminar. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that stuff's fascinating to me.
We also will have a gun fit seminar. We have a national, or yeah.
That is an underestimated important aspect
absolutely.
Of hunting.
Especially for women and children.
Oh, absolutely.
Not having a gun that fits you properly makes a world of difference in the field.
It does.
So yeah, we have a sporting clays instructor coming that's going to do a gun fit seminar. So.
That's awesome. I know the fans around the state are really growing for this show, but I can't emphasize this enough to you. And when I say I don't believe, I do believe in divine intervention. I don't believe in coincidences. And it is not a coincidence that I get to be involved with the Fowl Life, that we play such a huge role in the Waterfowl Hunters Expo, that Danielle has been a panelist and has outreached to so many of these groups that focus on the Learn to Hunt and the expanding aspect of women in the hunting culture. So there's no coincidence. And if you want a place to settle your curiosity, to learn something, or to just check it out, you've got to go to the Waterfowl Hunters Expo on August 24th in Oshkosh at the Sunnyview Expo Center. It's amazing. You'll get free food and you'll get more free knowledge than you could ever buy. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media Station. I'm Joel Clayfish next to Danielle Fairman. See you in a minute.
Smoking big cigars, well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't.
News from the Center, WRCE.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
It's Oscar season. And since the award started in 1929, more than 3,000 Oscars have been awarded. But only 60 have been won by black actors. The first black woman to win Best Lead Actress was Halle Berry for the film Monsters Ball in 2002. Denzel Washington earned Best Lead Actor for Training Day also in 2002, marking the first time both of the top Oscars were won by African Americans. That hasn't happened since. Listening for more Black history stories here on Civic Media, I'm Earl Ingram.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Man, you just gotta love Johnny Cash, don't you? I mean, every single song that comes on by Johnny Cash, just, I don't know why it makes me feel good. Mostly probably because it's in major chords, but Johnny Cash is just one of those iconic figures you can't go wrong with, and he's just such great crossover. You can play his music into anything, especially into and from the breaks of Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish, that's me, and Danielle Fairman, that's her. If you're catching us for the first time, thank you. We love our growing audience. This is a show about Wisconsin's wonderful, amazing outdoors, hunting, fishing, gathering, hiking, sideways banana-ing, which is what I call kayaking, because you'll never catch me dead in one of those things.
And now I'll never call it a kayak again.
No, it's sideways banana. So today we've got Megan Salazar from the Share the Heritage Foundation, which is a women's hunting organization that nurtures ways for women to enter the outdoor sporting heritage, which is fantastic. Todd Schaller, former Wisconsin DNR chief warden. He was the big dog for several decades there. And in his retirement now, he has teamed up with the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, went into the break talking about the Waterfowl Hunters Expo, which I'm not even joking, Danielle. I mean, we've been there. You've been there last year, a panelist last year. You're going to be helping out with the Share the Heritage stuff. There is that is literally the quintessential hunting event of the year, in my opinion. And you don't have to be a waterfowler to go there and enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. They had the decoy carving contest and all the old decoys. Every single time I'm fascinated by what they can actually do. Did you walk past them? It's absolutely fascinating.
Of course. We've got experts there, some of the old school original callers. I mean, some of the guys who have been calling since there were single reed wooden calls, and that was all there is, not all the fancy acrylic short reeds and everything else. This is a place to go if you like to eat. It's a good place to go. There's a ton there, a ton of food there, a ton of displays, cooking demonstrations. I'll be doing a cooking demonstration. The Share the Heritage will be doing a cooking demonstration on the Women's Zone this year. I want to be clear. The Women's Zone does not mean you shouldn't go and experience it if you are a man. Mm-hmm. This is for men and women, and it's going to focus on a ton of stuff that is certainly crossover, but I think the Waterfowl Association, under the direction of Bruce Ross, George Ermer, Todd Schaller, is genius in that they are understanding the impact of women and having a specialty area and a specialty cause at the Waterfowl Expo, and I'm super excited about it. And Megan, I know you're excited about it. You're going to have your hands full. I mean, but the lineup you guys have is just incredible.
Yeah, so far it is. We have more, so we're still in the very beginning planning stages of it, actually. We're, what, five months out now? So there's still a lot more to come as we find more contacts and get more people involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't wait for our next meeting, because with this next meeting that we have, we're going to be talking more, hopefully with everybody on it, but talking more about the in-depth and what needs to happen. And so by that time, hopefully we can have a social media post up to where we can ask people, like, what are you actually looking for, and actually mold it to what people are actually asking, what they
need. Give the people what they want.
They have to give what they want.
Well, let me ask that question. What do you guys find are the most common questions? What are the things people are most interested in learning about?
A lot of times right now for women is how do I get involved? Where do I start? What kind of gun do I buy?
Mm-hmm. The gun is a huge thing. Where do I go hunt?
So one of the things that we're trying to do is see if we can partner with OnX to teach a class on how to use Onyx and ask for permission and go and find those properties and what you're looking for scouting.
Wait, getting the permission is, I was terrified when I first started. I don't know about you.
It's a lot easier for women than it is
men. It definitely is.
Now, see, you could say that and I could not say that. I couldn't say that, but why do you think it's easier for women to ask for permission than men?
We're generally more approachable, I think, and I guess sometimes they probably feel that we're maybe a little more respectable to their properties as far as farmers go and stuff. Hmm. So
yeah.
I've been with a lot of groups that hunt, and if I'm the only girl in it, they're the ones sending me out to go do it. So,
well, I want to talk about this for just a minute because this is the vastly underappreciated art of hunting. Hunting doesn't take place when you show up with the gun in your hand. Hunting takes place when you are scouting. Scouting is hunting. Hunting is harvesting or enjoying the outdoors. Scouting is the process of getting permissions to hunt. It is finding where the quarry or the animal that you'd like to seek out is living, how it's spending its days, how it's visiting with its neighbors, what tea it drinks, or what type of rice they like, if they're going to hit corn versus beans versus wheat. Scouting, I would say, I do not think this is an exaggeration. I would say I spend 97% of my time in the outdoors scouting and 3% hunting.
Yeah, so I can definitely see that.
When you talk about asking permissions, and don't get me wrong, there are thousands of fantastic public acres in Wisconsin to hunt, public land that you do not need to ask for permission. However, you do have to be cognizant of other folks who have not asked for permission also, and they're going to be out there potentially with a deadly firearm in their hand. So I think that's very important. But when it comes to scouting where the birds are, you can't tell birds where to land and feed. So you often end up scouting. And if, I mean, both of you are telling me you think there is an advantage to scouting. And I think that what is fascinating to me is that a seminar on scouting or a talk on scouting should be at the very, very 101 of all hunting. And the fact that you're going to do it in the women's zone, I think that's really exciting.
Well, I think scouting properly is the only thing that's going to help you make yourself more successful in the field. You don't spend any time scouting. You're just guessing. And then you're like, oh, is that where the X is?
Yep.
Don't waste your time in the morning not knowing that.
I can tell you when I first started hunting, guessing does not work.
It does not, no. I have tried that multiple times and come back empty-handed. But with Onyx, it was so much easier to know where everything's going, and you can actually put a mark. Okay, this is where the turkeys are roosting right now, and this is where they're going to be roosting tomorrow, and so on and so forth, or the geese are flying in. So it's so perfect, and I cannot wait to hear it more at the expo because I'm going to learn more with this group too. So it's not only just for everyone coming. It's for us too. I have a lot more to learn.
Yeah. And just for those who don't know, Onyx is an online ownership of land app. It's fantastic. I go back to where the first times I did it, we got plat books from the municipalities to find out who lived where, and the lines were not clear. What an awesome show. August 24th, the Wisconsin Waterfowl Expo. Be there. It's going to be fantastic and well worth your while. This has been Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman. We're out till next week. See you then.
Ghost riders in the sky.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Ukraine marking the second anniversary of the Russian invasion. People in the capital Kyiv paying tribute today to the tens of thousands of Ukrainians who lost their lives. Lukasz Wanta, councillor of the Polish city of Krakow, among those visiting the memorial in Independence Square.
Everyone is a bit tired, especially Ukrainian people. No one is more tired than Ukrainian people because of this war. And that's why we are here, to show that the world hasn't forgotten.
But Russia has made significant advances in recent months as U.S. military aid languishes in Congress. Russian officials have given Alexei Navalny's body back to his mother following a week of stalling. Still remains to be seen if the Kremlin...